It's hard to see crippling sanctions here at this modern shopping mall in northern Tehran. The shops are stocked, the cafes are full, the latest Western electronics, even iPhones and iPads are available for those who can afford it. But talk to middle-class Iranians and you hear a dire story. They say they suffered as prices on almost everything rose dramatically for the past 2 years. International sanctions fueled skyrocketing inflation, estimated at 45%. Practically, that means that everything, bread, rice, chicken, got more expensive every month. In a small neighborhood shop, a baker fills a machine with dough that pops out loaves of hot bread. Sanctions changed the way Iranian shop, says this customer, who doesn't give her name. Whatever the price, she says, you still have to buy the basics.
Some of things are expensive, but it's already needed and necessary. So
you just tighten your belt someplace else?
The unnecessary thing we ignore.
Iran's economy has been badly damaged over the past 2 years. International sanctions froze oil assets and isolated Iranian banks, which shut off most international trade. Iran's currency lost 80% of its value, says economist Saeed Lelez.
We are in a catastrophic disaster situation at the moment. It was going to a collapse, a real collapse.
Since January, when the six-month nuclear deal took effect with the easing of some sanctions, there's a slight economic revival, he says.
Inflation from 45% to 27%.
And that's something that people notice in their everyday lives, the price of milk, the price of bread.
Of course. We had big achievement.
The new president, Hassan Rouhani, is credited with that achievement, elected to fix the economy last year. Iranian leaders deny this, but Alex Fatanka, an Iranian analyst in Washington, says economic pain convinced Iran to get serious about nuclear talks.
Iran needs to, for its own survival, to trade, export its oil, to import material, all the rest of it. So I think what Rouhani represents in many ways is engagement. And the supreme leader is also largely on board.
Here at the Tehran Peace Museum, a facility dedicated to eradicating weapons of mass destruction, Dr. Sharar Hotori believes sanctions punished Iran in ways other than emptying their wallets. Iran has more than 70,000 survivors of gas attacks in the 1980s when Iraq's Saddam Hussein used mustard gas against Iranian troops.
And here is a wax figure of Saddam Hussein on the gallows.
Yes, because he was actually the perpetrators of the so many war crimes, including the use of chemical weapons.
But it's not just history here. As a 15-year-old volunteer, Dr. Hotori was also exposed during the war. Now he's an expert on the long-term effects of poison gas. He says critical medicines for patients who need corneal transplants and relief from lung damage have been scarce for 2 years. He blames sanctions.
Some of the vital inhalers and medicine was not available at all, so we had a serious problem, and unfortunately, several of them died over the past couple of months.
But U.S. officials say sanctions specifically allow imports of food and medicines. Iranian officials counter that many companies stopped doing any business with Iran even when it was legal, scared off by U.S. warnings against breaking the sanctions. But now, Dr. Hotori says many specific drugs are back on the market.
It's easier to find some of them, not all of them, but still the problem is not solved.
So you started seeing a change almost immediately.
Almost immediately after the Geneva deal, yes. And it was good.
Good for a population that has suffered not only for these 2 years, but since the 1980s. Deborah Amos, NPR News.